T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Eric Wedge, I'm sure you know, is in his fifth season as manager of the Cleveland Indians. They just happen to have the second best record in the American League. Eric joins us on the phone lines. Good morning, Eric. It's John and John here in Boston. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. How you doing?
Hey,
good
just out of curiosity, what do your advanced scouts tell you and report to you when they bring you all the paperwork on the Boston Red Sox? Because we've heard a number of people say there's not much this team doesn't have, whether it's back end of the bullpen, setup guys, starting pitcher, powerful lineup, all those things. What do your advanced scouts tell you, Eric?
Well, I tell you what, I think they'd probably say that they're about as balanced of a good ball club, as they've had in a while. And obviously we've pretty much played everybody by now. But if you look at their squad, they're probably about as balanced as a club with good talent that you've seen in a while. And that's primarily what you're talking about. Obviously, you knew the offense was going to be there.
Right.
But whether it be starting pitching or bullpen, sometimes that's been suspect, or maybe defense. And I think you've got a nice combination of everything there. So we've got our work cut out for us. Last night was a perfect example. I mean, we had opportunities. If you don't take advantage of those opportunities, you're probably not going to get another one. And that's pretty much what happened to us last night.
But even with that kind of balance and that kind of lineup and that starting pitching and the back in the bullpen, 35-15 still has to be above most people's expectations, I would assume.
Yeah, I would say so.
700 ball.
Even with the expectations of the Boston fans, which is, tremendous, obviously, I would think everybody would have to be pleased. At this point in time, yeah, it's a crazy record, and it's still early. They're going to have their bumps and bruises, like we all have, over 162 games. But obviously, they're off to a tremendous start.
You're not far behind, Eric, with 32 wins. What were your expectations? Did you think it would be this good starting out for your club entering spring training?
I think it's hard to anticipate that. We felt like we had a chance to be a good ball club. One thing we're doing is, we've been solid in all areas of our club. We haven't been particularly great in one area. Our starting pitching has been pretty good, pretty solid, and give us a chance to win ball games, which is what you want. But I think that when you look at our club, offense, defense, bullpen, starting, infield, outfield, that type of deal, I think we've been pretty solid. So we just have to put ourselves in a position to win games. Our guys do a great job of not quitting. I mean, last night was a good example. We had a chance to do something there against Papelbon, but didn't work out for us. But, they play pretty hard.
As a player or as a manager, how do you guard against the way it used to be with Mo Rivera and the way it was last year with Papelbon, where he comes in with a lead of one or two and three runs, and the mentality as well, it's almost over at this point?
Well, you know what? As soon as you do that, it's going to bite you in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a fan, a coach, a player, whatever it is. You've got to have more respect for the game than that. It's just you can't assume anything. And when you're talking about big league baseball, big league players, the greatest players in the world, and the competition that goes along with that, there's no way you can assume anything. I don't care if you've got two outs and two strikes and nobody on base and you're up by three runs. You better not think this thing's over, or otherwise you'll wake up here in a few minutes and it'll be a different situation.
Hey, Eric, I don't know exactly how you do your job or if you watch any tape or you let that just up to your hitters, but if you saw Schilling's last two starts versus last night, obviously a big difference in the command of the fastball and
right.
The ability to make the splitter split. Did you see a huge difference?
A huge difference. We talked about it. We do a ton of videotape work, and obviously we've got a pretty strong, advanced team. But, one, it was his fastball, the way he was spotting it up. He was leveraging the baseball downhill. And two, the splitty. And I don't mind the fastball. We can deal with that.
Right.
We'll pick spots. But, but we helped him out with that splitty. And, he did a good job. I mean, he was running it off and doing what he wanted to do with it. And he's more of a pitcher now. I mean, he used to be a power pitcher. Now he's just shows you how good he is, because he's just more of a pitcher now. He throws the ball and has to attack hitters, and he always prepares very well. But, we just helped him out too much with that splitty, and when he did that, we were fighting from there.
It seems umpire Rick Reed has your number this year, Eric. The same Rick Reed who derailed you one strike from victory, your April 6th home opener,
yeah.
He called it because of snow. He's behind the plate last night. Casey Blake's up in the ninth inning, And they have the you have that disputed issue with Blake. Was it a swing? Was it not a swing? Merriweather steps in. He's called out. What was the interpretation you received?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. yeah, I know. I'm with you, man. You know, they had the rules right. I mean, yeah, he said it. You know, Rick said it hit him at home plate, and, you know, which it did. So he's going to give him the base. But then, you know, Tito went crazy, as he should have, and, you know, checked with Chuck down at first base and said he swung. He didn't swing the bat right there. I didn't think he did it anyway. It's up to everybody's interpretation, whether it be the crew or the individual umpire. But, so, you know, he rings him up because it's third strike and it's a dead ball. I can't do anything even though first base is open. So, you know, we were on the south side of everything. And that's what I told Rick as I'm walking off the field there with my choice words. You know, I'm tired of being on the south side of things with his crew. So, but, hey, you know what? What are you going to do? I mean, we had our opportunities. And, you know, we let it slip away from us.
Eric, is it theoretically possible for the ball? Well, I know it's theoretically possible, but I'm not sure how the ruling would be. If it hit his finger and the bat at the same time, is that an HBP strikeout or a foul ball?
Well, it's the whole plate's call. He's got to make it one or the other.
Got to be one or the other. Can't be both, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Can't do both. So he has to make that call. It's a judgment call. And everybody talks about, well, the hand's part of the bat. That's, you know, that's more of a myth than anything. The umpire's going to have to make a call on that right there. And that's what he did. He did right. I mean, hit him on the hand, and right. He should have done the right thing. But he also should have checked right away instead of waiting for Tito to come out there and do his thing. And you know, and then the first base umpire is going to get caught up. But, you know, we might get that call if we're in Cleveland, but, you know, with that atmosphere right there, I don't think that we were, and we didn't.
Hey, speaking of Cleveland, I'm wondering, you get the second best record in the American League. You're playing 633 baseball. Are the people in Cleveland aware, based on the fact that it's the Pistons at the Cavaliers game four tonight in the NBA?
Oh, yeah. They're, I mean, it's, you know, LeBron mania there. So, I mean, yeah, they're into it. But, you know what, Cleveland's it's a good sports town. And, you know, they've got a lot going on right now with the Cavs. And, you know, I think that they should be pleased with the way we're playing right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Cavs. Hopefully they can pull it out, and, you know, then they can move on to the Indians. But I tell you, for the bad weather we've had, and I know everybody's had some bad weather here early on, you know, the fans have done a pretty good job of coming out there, and more so than maybe in previous years. So hopefully they recognize what we're doing, and we can keep playing well.
We're talking to Indians manager Eric Wedge, and Eric, is a former player for the Boston Red Sox, I'm sure you're probably, and know a little bit how things work around here, probably not surprised watching the reaction of the Fenway crowd last night to Trot Nixon's return.
No, not at all. I fully expected it. Everybody asked me about it. For me, just knowing how it is here in New England and Boston, and then just knowing the respect that that Trot's garnered here, I knew that there was going to be that type of deal. And, of course, you know, in Red Sox fashion, they went over the top, you know, with the pregame ceremony and the video tribute. And, I mean that in a great way.
Sure.
I mean, it's the way it should be. And yeah, an appreciation here for individuals or teams that have really done what they like to see done here has never wavered, and that's what makes it such a great area to play. And I tell you what, for Trot, I know that he probably woke up with goosebumps, and rightfully so. And everything that you guys appreciate with what he's done in the last 10 years, he's done for us here. It's a big part of our success this year with Trot's presence.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how he has been for you, because a lot of times, or sometimes I should say, when a guy's been someplace for a long period of time and goes into a new situation, just kind of feels his way around slowly and doesn't really want to sort of take on the personality of the clubhouse, just sort of just tries to get his bearing. How has that adjustment been for Trot? What's he been like for you guys?
Well, I'm glad it's been a quick adjustment, because you know, I get tired of hearing about, I lead by example or I lead on the field. I want to hear somebody lead.
Yeah.
I want to hear somebody be vocal. I want to hear somebody stand up to their teammates, and stand up for what's right. You know, that's part of being a leader. And he's one of the few people that I've had that have done that. I'm talking less than, you know, probably three or four people in my 5 years here that have been vocal at the right time, that, you know, weren't afraid what people thought of them. If they thought it was the right thing, they said it or they did it. Or they reacted to it, and Trot's done that. And you need to have that as a team. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, here in Boston, maybe, you know, teams take that for granted because they've always got that in some way, shape, or form. But for us being a younger team and these kids growing up together like they have the last 3 or 4 years here in Cleveland, we really haven't had that. And Trot's done a great job with it. Millwood did a great job with it for, you know, a couple of years ago. Borowski's given us some of that, and, you know, in the bullpen. So I really appreciate, you know, just how vocal he's been, and just obviously, you know, you see the way he plays. I mean, that speaks for itself.
You have the enviable task of managing Grady Sizemore, Sports Illustrated declaring him the next great thing a couple weeks ago. Ozzie Guillen called him the best player in our league. Rare moment for Guillen. He actually didn't swear when describing something. And Superman, what is it like for you, Eric, to sit in that seat every night and watch him play?
You know what? When you have a player like that, and I remember, you know, our pitching coach, Carl Willis, played with Kirby Puckett over there in Minnesota there in the early 90s, and just talking about, you know, having a player like that on your team, it makes it so much easier for me as a manager. This kid's going to show up every day. He's going to bring it, and I mean bring it, and he's going to run every ball out. He's going to prepare the way he's supposed to prepare. He's going to care the way he's supposed to care, and he's going to feel every moment of every game. Mm-hmm. And to have a great player that plays that way, that has that type of passion and ability, how can anybody else not play that way? It's just, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And first of all, I can't fathom any other way. I just can't put up with it, you know, playing the game, you know, the wrong way. And to have a great player like that that leads by example, it makes it a lot easier for me. And fortunately for us, these guys understand what's expected, and they go out and do it. I don't even have to say much at all anymore. They just go out and they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And we've got some ability, and you know, good things are happening. But Grady is over the top. And the only way I can explain it to people, and I know people in Boston here, and you guys will appreciate this. This guy could play for any manager on any team in any era. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be enough said.
Hey, Eric, we asked this question of Jim Leland last week. What's the most important thing that your team needs to know about the way you want things done in your clubhouse and on the field if you play for Eric Wedge and the Cleveland Indians?
It's pretty simple. I mean, there are two things that just for me that are non-negotiable. One, you've got to respect the game. And by respecting the game, everything about it and the way you play, day in and day out. And two, you've got to be a good teammate. You got to care about the guy next to you. You got to care about your team. You got to care about the vendor across the street. You got to care about the lifelong fan. And you've got to understand just what responsibility goes along with that. If you can do those things, then you can play.
You know, Leland said, and I think this is probably a part of what you were talking about when you said respect the game. He said, I don't care what the score is. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care where we are in the game. You never, ever, ever give up. And you mentioned that a little bit right. With Papelbon coming in the game with a 2- or 3-run lead.
That's exactly right. It doesn't matter where you are, what the score is, how tired you are, home, away, one fan, 50,000 fans, up by one, down by 20, you play it out. I mean, you play it out. There is no clock on this game. You play until the game is over. And then you can, you know, then you can relax and take a break. And then I am proud to say that our kids do that. And, you know, I don't take that for granted. I don't look at that or take that lightly at all. I really, it means a lot to me the way our kids play.
Hey, Eric, how much did Keith Foulkes' springtime retirement throw a monkey wrench into your plans?
It was a surprise phone call. You know what? We were talking about him and Borowski being at the end of our bullpen, and we had Keith in Cleveland, and we felt like he was going to be able to be healthy for us this year. But you know, he decided to hang it up, and I think it's more of a life decision than anything. Who knows? I mean, sometimes when players do that and they're out for a year, they get the itch again. They try to come back, and you know, maybe giving his body and arm another year, he's going to feel a little bit better. So. Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if he came back again. I mean, he left a lot of money on the table. You got to respect the fact that he just didn't show up in spring training and say, I'm hurt. You know, he decided to hang it up, and he did it the proper way. It just, it threw a curveball at us a little bit, but obviously we've been able to adapt.
Hey, Eric, if you're managing the New York Yankees, if you're Joe Torre, and you understand from your pitching people, from your baseball people, that Roger Clemens is game ready, would you want him this weekend in Fenway Park against the Red Sox, or would you see some sort of added value of letting him get past that and start his first game back against the White Sox in Chicago?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess you have to know everything that's going on behind the scenes. And I've said this before, as a manager, unless you're privy to every conversation and every situation that you're dealing with, it's hard to answer those questions. Obviously, you know what, if you feel like Roger Clemens is ready,
yeah,
you know, and that's, you know, that's the whole definition of its own, then yeah, you want to have him back. But, when you're looking to play things out and you're looking at the big picture, it's not just about that first start. It's about what you can get from him for whatever, his 20 starts or 15 starts or whatever it's going to be. You've got to look at the big picture, and I'm sure that's what they're doing. So whatever's going to give them the best chance to win those 15, 15 or 20 games that he starts, that's what they should do, and I'm sure that's what they're trying to do.
How do you manage a player who's on the family plan? Or could you manage a guy that wants to leave every four days?
Yeah, I don't know if I could. I mean, there are special situations out there, and obviously Roger's one of those. And Roger was a teammate of mine, and I've got a great deal of respect for him. But, I remember with Nolan Ryan, he did it towards the end of his career. And, I think you've got to go to your players. If you're going to make an exception to the rule, and that's one hell of an exception to the rule,
yeah.
you've got to go through your players, and it's got to be their call. I don't even know if it's fair to put the ball in their court there, too, because you're putting a lot of heat on them to make a decision. When ultimately, it's our job to make those decisions from a management standpoint. So, I don't know. I've never been in that situation, and if I had to guess, I probably never will, knowing me.
Will he feel the difference coming back from the National League after what John Smoltz told us about a week and a half ago was a rocking chair inning or two per game with 7, 8, and 9 in the National League versus 1 through 9 in the American League?
Anybody tells you that there's not a big difference between American League and National League, they're crazy, because it is a big difference. I'm talking from an offensive standpoint and, who you're sending up there 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously from a pitching standpoint, too, if you look at our league, you can just look at our Central Division and look at some of the arms that are there. It's pretty strong stuff. So, there are no nights off, from the offensive side, and there's most definitely no nights off if you're talking about from a pitching staff standpoint. So you can't catch your breath. If you do, you're going to have an inning that's just going to it's going to knock you out, and it can happen pretty quick over here. So, there's a big difference.
Hey, Eric, tell us about your Strike One camp up in Danvers. What's that all about?
Well, we got the Strike One indoor facility up here in Danvers, and we're into our 10th, 11th year. But we've got a couple of summer camps this year, and we've done it now for 3 years, and we call it the Eric Wedge Major League Camps, and we're going to do two this year. We're going to do one July 16th through 20th at Endicott College in Beverly,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have a couple of Red Sox players that are going to be up there, and it's a week-long day camp, and it's a great setup for the kids. And then we're also going to have one July 30th through August 3rd, and that's at Merrimack College, and we had one there last year. So we're adding the one in Endicott on July 16th. And I've already talked to Kevin Millar. Kevin's going to come up. Baltimore's in town that week. He's going to come up there for that second week. And, I've been talking to the guys with the Red Sox. I'm going to talk to Wakefield, and I'm going to talk to Alex Cora, I'm going to talk to Mirabelli, and a few of the other guys. I'm going to see if we can get a couple of guys up there a week. We're going to for sure have a couple of Red Sox players there each week, and it's just a matter of pinning them down. But it's a great opportunity to go up there and have some quality instruction. It's going to be a safe environment. Anybody knows anything about Strike One, we do it the right way, and we make it very reasonable price-wise. So it's at www.strikeone.com, or you can call 978-739-4700, and we're excited about it.
I'm going to have you give that website and that phone number again after I repeat. July 16th through the 20th and July 30th through August 3rd are the two separate camps.
Yes, July 16th through 20th at Endicott College in Beverly, or July 30th through August 3rd at Merrimack College in North Andover. And it's, again, the website is www.strikeone.com. or the phone number is 978-739-4700.
All right, you understand, Eric, before we let you go, the Yankees now have the Indians in their sight for the wild card as opposed to, or Detroit, I suppose.
Indians are in the driver's seat.
Yeah, the Indians are in the driver's seat as opposed to trying to catch the Red Sox, who are 13.5 games up.
So let me ask you a question,
yes,
and I think I know the answer to this. You guys have never been in this situation this early with the Yankees, have you?
No, I think it's the largest lead since 94.
Yeah, this is the most.
At this point in time of the year, though.
Yeah, right. At this point in time, yes.
35 wins in the 50 games is the most wins this franchise has ever had in history after 50 games.
Well, I tell you what, you could feel it last night at Fenway. So we're going to try to disrupt things tonight, though. I'm just going to, we're going to try to do best we can to uphill things.
All right. Eric Wedge, thanks very much for the time. Good luck with the camp as well.
Thanks, Eric.
I appreciate it, guys.
Eric Wedge, Indians manager with Dino and Meter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.